What is going on, podcast listeners? Neil here for another episode of the Remote Local Podcast, here with my boy Jeff, who is calling in from Colombia. What's going on, Jeff?
What's going on, Neil? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Stoked to have you here. I was mentioned to you before, but Colombia was the very first place I traveled back in 2015 when I started traveling, and it has a very dear place in my heart. How are you liking it there?
It's something else. Sometimes I wonder if like the narcos and all that stuff is like a psyop to keep the Americans out, basically.
But we found out about it. Now we're just infiltrating.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, Jeff and I connected, and Jeff's got an awesome backstory, which I think is really inspirational. So Jeff, before I steal the thunder and tell everyone the secret, would you mind telling us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing now, but more importantly, where you started and your origin stories?
Yeah. So I started by following the traditional like middle-class programming, I guess you could call it, go to school, get a job. I actually got a job in the field that I went to school for, right? So I went to school for air traffic control. That's what my degree is. So very specialized, can't really do anything else with it. But then went and became an air traffic controller, and it was a job, I guess. I don't know. I knew basically instantly when I arrived there, it wasn't the thing that I was going to be doing. And so then it was constantly like, you know, I could retire when I was 49. So I'm like starting to think about that, but I'm in my 20s, which made no sense. And actually, I read Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Work Week, and that really spoke to me as far as like the deferred lifestyle plan doesn't make sense. So I quit the first time and actually did similar to you, had a one-way ticket to Colombia to just like figure things out. I had 2 years of money saved up to live. And so I didn't really spend that time doing anything business related, but essentially traveled the world for a full 2 years. And then as I was running out of money, went back to the job that I hated because it paid well, to then set myself up to build a business. So I had spent now time on Money Twitter, learning all the things that I need to learn or learning what I didn't know. And then I started a copywriting business when I was back working for the government. So I was sometimes writing copy like on my breaks, other times like days that I was not working or whatever the case was. So I was doing direct response copywriting. I think that's where a lot of people kind of first turn their attention into making money online. And so
Jeff, let me ask you about that. Actually, I'm so curious about, first of all, air traffic controller. I don't know if that is still true. You tell me. I've heard that the highest suicide rate is under air traffic controller jobs. Is that a myth? Am I making that up?
Well, I mean the highest, I don't know if it's exactly the highest. It's definitely up there. I never knew anybody who like committed suicide, but it's like rated one of the most stressful jobs. And somebody else who came from a different facility said, he would know people who would be like one day sitting next to you and the next day no longer there.
Jeez, man. So yeah, I can see why you want to get out of that. Next question I had is copywriting. Like, I don't know if this is like just because I'm getting targeted with this, but I feel like everyone is trying to pitch copywriter services online. Is this just like the new way to make money online that everyone's pushing? What is it about copywriting?
It's a good entry thing. I mean, I think that copywriting and sales are the two like foundational skills that you must have. And then for every single other offer or every single other thing. Did I cut out there? Are you good?
No, still hear you. Good. Okay.
Good deal. So yeah, I think that copywriting is the foundation. It's like selling with words. And there's a whole bunch of courses about it, right? And so I bought a course to get into it. And so I'm sure because there's a whole bunch of courses, now there's a whole bunch of people pitching, hey, I'll write your emails or I'll write this or I'll write that. But it's just fundamentally probably, I think sales and copywriting are the two skills that build the foundation for everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely in agreement with you on that one. So you did copywriting for a bit, and what'd you think about it?
I liked getting clients, but I didn't actually like the writing. Like I was never a good writer. I was able to reframe that direct response writing is different. You get to break the rules. You don't have to follow rules and all that stuff. But when I would get the jobs, I was like finding myself constantly procrastinating, constantly like, I don't actually want to write this copy. I don't want to help sell this info product, or I don't want to speak to this market or whatever the case was. And so, yeah, I liked that it gave me a window into like what I'm doing now, but I realized that it was just like, it wasn't the thing for me.
Gotcha. Okay. So you travel, are you still traveling at this point? Are you back home and doing this on the side while you're working full time?
I was at home working full time and doing copy at the time.
Gotcha. Cool. And then what shift happened? I mean, it sounds like you were 9 to 5, you realized got to get out of this rat race, and we're trying a bunch of different things. So you started copywriting. How'd you get from there to where you are now?
Yeah. So fortunately, like, mentors are everything, right? So I picked up a mentor. My first, while I was still unemployed, which I hadn't filled you in on this part of the story, but I was doing door-to-door solar sales. And that that was like my first taste into sales, which then she led me into copywriting and like was my first client. But I was like, hey, there's some kind of misalignment here. Like, I'm just really not liking doing this, but I'm good at, you know, sending the emails and closing people on working with me. And she's like, why don't you just do sales only? And I was like, wait, that's an option?
The part that you like, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, wait, that's an option? Oh, okay. And don't have to do fulfillment. And I was like, okay, this sounds amazing. And so that is what led me into the sales arena. And also I got so lucky. Somebody I had met while traveling the world had posted on, I think it was Facebook, like, I'm looking for an intern to help me with, like, you get to see the inside of a six-figure online business. And so I was just immediately like, you don't have to pay me anything.
Yeah.
Show me.
Let's do it.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. And so that led you to start getting into more into sales. So at this point you said copywriting, not my shindig. Let me go and try and transition a little bit more to sales. So you started working with this guy as an intern, and you were just doing, were you like being a closer? What were you actually doing on the sales side?
So yeah, I was taking the initial call, which is like the appointment setter, and then also closing them. So it was he was running a two call system. So it was like 15 minute qualifying call over the phone. And actually at that time, we were just using form for everything, which I wouldn't do now. But then 45 minute closing call. And I needed a lot of work. Like like everybody that I work with when they come in, now that I teach sales, I see it, but it's like tonality, being able to speak well and being empathetic when somebody is just like giving you their problems. I was just like, yep, got it. Now, you know, I was like, like checking the boxes. I was not good at it to begin with. So I learned a ton from him. Didn't close any sales. but such is part of the learning process.
Yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, that allowed me the confidence to then go and find other roles. And then I was just like finding other sales roles, like a machine, essentially. I went through a training, a course that I bought that was about how to sign high ticket clients. And it was like the easiest thing ever, you know, sending personalized Loom videos, essentially, is what it came down to.
Interesting. So, yeah. I guess simple as that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Just very hyper personalized. And like, I mean, there's more of a process, and the guy has a really good copywriter background. So again, the copywriting skills that I learned initially, I'm still using to these days.
Yeah.
So that's, I believe in this talent stack of like get better and better and better at things and build up skills. And then eventually you'll be, you know, undeniable.
So Jeff, when did you get to the point where you're like, I could quit my 9-to-5. I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah. So actually, it was shortly after that first failed sales job, I found two were marketing agencies and one was a coaching product. I found three other offers to sell for.
Mm-hmm. And
I literally on one of them made my first $20 and was just like, I'm out. I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? So I made the jump from there. And now
the money milestone.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I had, you know, a year's worth of savings saved up. Mm. So I knew that I could afford the time, but it was proof of concept for one. And then also for two, the things that were going on at work were just like really not in alignment with me and like my values. And so I was just like, I need to get out of here soon. And so I was already targeting between August and December. And then it was in August and I was just like, yep, I'm out. I can't do this.
Put the plug. Absolutely, yep. Man. And that, I find that often makes you grow way faster. And it's not just like, oh, I've dealt with the amount of time, but there's something of just, I don't know, maybe like, at least for me, it was like when I quit my job, I think we tripled in revenue right after that. And it's something I call it like the 2-year rule, where for some reason, like if you're working on something for a couple of years, I feel like the fruits of the labor finally pay off after 2 years. It's not a hard and fast rule. Some people it's 3 years, some people it's less. But like I've always noticed an exponential growth after 2 years of just grinding on something. How long was it where you were kind of doing your own thing before you decided to quit fully?
Oh man. I mean, I was just like on and off and on. Like, first off, I just sat as the consumer watching other people build online businesses from Twitter. I sat there for 2 years before I actually did something.
Yeah.
You know, and then once I did it, it was probably a year and a half, 18 months from first got started to actually being able to be like, okay, I'm all in and this is working well.
Yeah. And so Jeff, are you still doing high ticket closing for clients?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. So, and so you're it's kind of like your freelance sales guy. Is that how I think about it? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my model, which is, I think, different from other people's, is like I have a business that I then will take on offers, right? And this has always been my model. So I've been able to work for multiple people, been able to segment my time the way that I want to. And then now also, like, kind of by happenstance, I opened up a coaching program just based on requests of people that I've been helping. But I build sales teams as well for business owners. So I'm doing kind of like helping business owners with their offer and selling it, and then also training sales reps. And so these things obviously work together. Everyone, like, the business owner needs to scale beyond the time that I have available, then I can just put one of my sales reps into that opportunity and then just continue that process.
Yeah, I love that. It's I always love the analogy, you can't steer a parked car, right? Like I'm helping coach a couple of people right now, and one of them is thinking a lot about what he wants to do in terms of business model. Should I set up this way, this way, this way, this way? My advice is always, dude, just once you get started, you'll see opportunities which come up, but you can't really plan everything from the sidelines. It doesn't work like that. And the same thing for you, like right when you got into it, you're like, oh, cool, I'm doing high ticket sales myself, but oh shoot, now there's all these people who want it from me and now I can sell that. And then they're going to want something more and you want that. Just kind of like the opportunity just come in an avalanche once you actually get going, which is very counterintuitive if you think about it, but you don't really need a plan. You just got to get going.
Literally. That's the, just if I could go back and tell myself, you know, before I started, from all the things I know now, it's just like, just hurry up and start, because you're probably going to fail multiple times and you need to hurry up and start so you can figure out the things that you don't know. And you don't even have the benefit of these failures yet to realize the things that you don't know.
Yeah. Jeff, with your program, who's that for?
Yeah. So anybody who's like, my main target is actually people who are looking to leave their 9 to 5 and make a full-time income online. Most people, that magic number is 10K per month that everybody's kind of targeting and searching for. So people who believe already that they're a good communicator, or at least a decent communicator, and can, you know, clearly express themselves. And then beyond that, it's just like people who want to have location freedom, want to make their own schedule, and want to forever leave their job, right? Like typically the people that I work with are actually leaving the golden handcuffs of like, oh, I'm making 100+ K, but I don't want to do this anymore. And so it's, for me, it's just helping them really just find fulfillment in the work that they're actually doing and seeing progress.
Gotcha. So helping them become high ticket closers is kind of what your program is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I would assume that's probably great for like people who are already in the sales role in corporate, but like they're in corporate, right? So this is getting them to work for themselves essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So I've had people who are like, say in the mortgage industry or insurance industry or even corporate, right? To get into like remote sales / high ticket sales is like basically every Facebook ad that you see, or every ad that you see online, is going to somebody's funnel to offer a high ticket product or service of some kind. Yeah. And then the people that I train would be taking said calls and helping people decide if it is a good fit for them and if they should actually buy the thing.
Yeah. I love it, man. And what's next? What's on the roadmap for you?
So I actually just launched a mastermind for sales guys who are already above 10K. So it's like the logical conclusion of, there's a lot of people right now who are selling this 0 to 10K thing. I won't go into my thoughts on some of their programs, but there's not many continuations beyond that of like, okay, so now I've beat this game and I'm at 10, 15, even 20 grand per month. How do I go to 50? Right. And so that's what this is about. It's focused a lot more on sales management. Could be focused on an education company. Like, we have a couple guys in here who are wanting to build their sales coaching program as well. Like, I'm of the belief it's like just abundance, everything. Like, there's competition doesn't really exist. And so I will help people start the exact same business model that I'm running. Just overall doing more in-person events is where the mastermind has led. Like, so we had an in-person event in Colombia, and I'll be having another one here coming up pretty soon in Sedona, Arizona. Nice. And yeah, it's just, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs now, because we work over Zoom so much, kind of feel like, especially if they've rejected all their friends, or not rejected, but like they've outgrown all their friends who are the people who, you know, still have the habits that they used to have. They now want to connect with people who are, you know, doing bigger things. And that's why I kind of put the minimum limit of like, you need to be making 10K per month in order to have access or qualify to get into here, just because it's, the conversation is a bit higher level instead of figuring out like, how do I start?
Yeah. No, I think that, I think especially the niche you're in, Jeff, and like maybe you see it, I don't see it because like I'm not in that world, but just an entire network of all high ticket closers. Like that's essentially what you're building here, right? Like people who already have their own business, either freelance or maybe they have a few people under them, and they're just kind of like, this is how I'm imagining it. Hired guns who are really, really good at high ticket closing who all work together. And like, I'm sure people could trade contracts and like, there's just so much that can happen in that world, right? Because who doesn't need high ticket closers if you have a high ticket offer? Everyone 100%. Needs that constantly. Yeah. I love the network. That's a smart idea.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, Jeff, where can anyone find you? If they want to get connected with you, learn more about you, learn more about the program, where can they find you?
Yeah. So Twitter is my most active platform, at Strongjaw Sales. You can probably tell by my jawline.
Yeah. I was about to ask you.
I decided to call out my unique characteristics. So yeah, at Strongjaw Sales. And then my website, just my name, jefflundeen.com. Or jefflundeen.com/start. And you can watch a video there to kind of understand the process. And then you'll be able to book a call below there.
Cool. I love it, man. And I'll put those links in the show notes as well. Jeff, thanks so much for hopping on, dude. That was awesome.
Absolutely. Good talking with you, Neil.